is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
A good yawning this morning, Bahamas. It is Wednesday, the 19th of May, 2021, and you're On the Clock with Erin Green. On the Clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the Clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Today's show is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. And I'm so happy for them to be sponsoring the show. And hopefully in the month of June, we will have members of various departments coming on the show to talk to you in detail about some of the new services and programs that they are offering. My guest today is Nicole Jameson. She's a Bahamian visual artist, illustrator, and graphics designer currently living in the U.S. But before we get to that segment of the show, I want to remind you guys how you can call in and join the conversation. You already know to tune your dial to 96.9 FM, but we're also streaming live audio and video on guardiantalkradio.com. You could listen in on TV on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. Or download the Guardian Radio app for your Apple or Android smart devices and listen to our audio feed right there on the Guardian Radio app. Or you can text us on the Guardian Radio text line. That's 422-GR96. That's 422-4796, powered by BTC, and standard text rates apply. You can also call us at 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. I want to say thank you to all the people that texted the show yesterday and called in, but in particular who texted the show yesterday. I was unable to get through to all of the texts, but I hope you appreciate that I did spend a portion of the show going through texts and bringing your sentiments into the dialogue. You know, every show is going to be different. You have to find the right balance of guest, host, and audience every day, right? And every day, the balance changes, which sort of brings me to my notes for this morning. Oh, there's all kinds of things in the paper and not in the paper. So a Facebook friend of mine shared a video either this morning, the video was taken either this morning or yesterday, showing a massive pileup of seaweed in one of the harbors or marinas in Abaco. I want to send a shout out to Billy Roberts in Abaco, who is holding it down, the hottest waking man in Abaco. But thank you for sharing that video. I had never seen that much seaweed in one place at one time in the Bahamas. And it made me think of similar scenes further south in the Caribbean, like in St. Lucia in the Eastern Caribbean states, where they yearly have an explosion or an invasion, right, of seaweed. It becomes problematic, and it really takes a collective national effort to manage that seaweed. And I thought about it. I thought to myself, wait, don't just see a problem, see an opportunity, right? That seaweed is an opportunity for industry. And, because people are making a number of construction composite materials with seaweed as a product, right? So it may be seaweed and hemp. It may be seaweed and some other type of natural fiber. But I know for certain that people are making pallets, recycled materials. So don't see it as a challenge, see it as an opportunity. But for it to really become industry, right? For it to really be industry, we have to rely on a regular pattern of seaweed washing up in these areas, right? And then I looked up at my mango tree because I was sitting outside this morning looking at my phone when I saw that video. And I realized that that weather report a few days ago was correct. We're going to see increased winds for a period of about 2 weeks, right? And then I remembered that I have been documenting over the last several years this period of time where the wind picks up tremendously. I thought it was just my part of the island, right? Because I live close to the water. But we seem to have something going on, a shift, right? Whether it is a planetary shift or a climate shift, we are seeing a shift in the weather. Now, initially, this was a problem for me because the heavy winds and persistent or sustained were occurring at the time when mango trees, avocado trees, and guineb trees are pushing out their blossoms, right? The fruit is still growing and trying to set on the tree, on the trees. So it was something that I paid attention to because it impacted the business that I was in. And we see now there's certainly some sort of climate shift going on because this pattern of weather has shifted significantly, right? It's much later now. We know the mangoes have set, the avocados are setting or have set, and the guineb is still setting, right? So this period of wind shifted. And again, I say to us, don't just see a challenge, see an opportunity. Because if the weatherman is now telling me that every year I could expect a sustained period of increased winds, right, and weather, then I am thinking regatta, sailing, surfing, and other wind-related water sports. Because the wind is good for something, from a fruit trees necessarily. And it ain't good for when I want to just sit on the beach and lounge. But this wind is good for something. And so I want to remind us that sometimes we look in front of us and we see a challenge. But if we just shift our perspective slightly, then we'll see an opportunity in front of us. Arlington, I see I got a caller on the line. Let me take that call dead quick. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. Good morning, caller. You no longer there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning to you. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
That's good. I like to first of all do some house cleaning, may?
Yeah, yeah.
I like to give thanks to the folks who are planting trees.
Mm-hmm.
I really appreciate them, some young folks who continue to do that, and yourself continue to go there and plant trees.
Yeah.
I like to thank those candidates who are cleaning up.
Yeah.
The area. I hope they keep that up when they go in power, because one of the policies I would like to see pass is every house be landscaped.
Yeah.
That's important to make New Providence a beautiful place.
Let me make a quick point. Do you know when the government started its what they call the low cost housing initiative, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we know that it wasn't low cost housing. They just shifted the criteria for you to qualify, right? For
right.
the mortgage.
Right.
When they started that initiative, they had a plan, and the plan was if your home was 2-bedroom, I think you got 1 fruit tree, and if your home was 3-bedroom, you got 2 fruit trees.
Right.
Right, so that we could see that idea at the policy level, you know.
There was a plan, too. I think it's still there. You could check it out.
Yeah.
Inside the Ministry of Housing, that when you build your house, certain trees you can't cut down.
Right, and we have law about that, right? Like we know the silk cotton tree, you cannot cut it down.
But not law for native trees, like roots and stuff.
Ah, right.
They have that kind of tree. I wonder why they didn't put native trees in there, like roots, which you got to eat.
Yeah. Well, listen, that's a wonderful perspective on how we create policy, right?
Uh-huh.
around food, culture, and preservation and access to food, right?
Right.
About environmental policy.
Uh-huh.
About community planning.
Right.
Policy. That's a fabulous idea.
Any policy should be environmental friendly, isn't it?
Well, right, that should be mainstreamed in it.
That's
no
mainstream.
No policy should be written without considering to the, I would say, to the seventh generation, the environmental impact of that policy, right?
Even I see they clean up moving vehicles, that should be a part of the policy. Your yard, landscape, you know my grandmother days, in the UBP days, UBP. They have inspectors go around people's yard inspecting it, make sure no debris or anything in your yard. Go back to that, too.
Look here. I got to go because I want to run through some more of these.
Okay.
This
one
housekeeping.
More thing. One more thing.
But before you go, let me just say this.
No, I ain't going yet. One more thing.
The car salvage, right?
Uh-huh.
Removing the cars. See, we see it as a challenge, right? Like, we just see dirt and waste. And mind you, there are issues because we see rat homes, right? We see the potential to harbor rats. But guess what? What we should be seeing is the economic opportunity. Right? And if we did have local government like you're lobbying for, then community groups could come together, but those cars were collected for salvage by people in the community. And those people break it down into parts and then with the facilitation of a service provided by local government, they could ensure that all of the parts go or are sold to an authorized salvage dealer,
right?
To put that money back into community development and to pay a stipend to the people doing the work.
You gotta talk about that one day. But you mentioned seaweed.
Yeah, yeah.
I taste seaweed soda.
Yeah.
I want to quickly say that to you because you mentioned my mango. I don't get mango. My seaweed soda. Now you can make different teas and stuff like that. I congratulate the people, Bohemian. I think it's a Bohemian company who made it.
That is awesome.
It's in a clear bottle.
Yeah.
Short bottle. Check it out.
Yeah, man, thank you.
Have a good day.
Absolutely. See, and that's it right there, right? When we think it's a challenge that we're looking at, be willing to shift your perspective slightly because it may be an opportunity. Imagine that. Seaweed soda.
If you'd like to make...
But imagine how good a sea grape and seaweed soda would taste because sea grapes grow by the sea and have a natural salt content. Thank you very much. So back to my housekeeping dead quick. I see in the paper that there are new sidewalks for Palmdale. And I am because Palmdale is a shopping district. That means you got plenty walking people in that area and they need sidewalks, right? That's a reason why you would repair the sidewalks in Palmdale. But then I thought to myself, I hope people don't think the government is repairing the sidewalks in Palmdale so that they could drive their cars and their commercial vehicles on them, right? I hope people understand that when the police come out and start ticketing them for destroying the infrastructure that we all have to pay for, they don't get upset and cuss off the police officers because the sidewalks are for walkers, for pedestrians, for differently abled and disabled people that use manual or motorized wheelchairs, that have to use crutches and walkers. It's not for you to park your car because the parking lot was full. Can we stop being petty? Also, a very important note. I couldn't tell from the images in the paper, but we'll decide on the water that settles regularly in that area. Was there simultaneous plan to fix the drainage system in the area and to create a proper water catchment system? Because what's the point of building sidewalks for pedestrians if the sidewalks will be covered with water when the pedestrians need them most? Or worse, they're so low that when the drivers drive in the puddle, they splash up on the pedestrians. Another note, in the paper today, Desmond Bannister, the Honorable Desmond Bannister, says, Shantytown residents, not my responsibility. Now, many of you who have been following me or followed Lester Cox's Connected on the Guardian platform, you know that Desmond Bannister has been high on my list of people who need to resign before they get fired since 2017. I am glad that he gave me an opportunity to put his list. Dear sir, first of all, if you want to continue using the fake title Deputy Prime Minister of the Bahamas, then perhaps you should reconsider this position. When people call you the Deputy Prime Minister of the Bahamas, they have the expectation that you understand your duty of care for the entire country. For anybody that's suggesting that this move is a prime ministerial one, how would you feel if your prime minister told you that that ain't in my portfolio, so it ain't my responsibility? But more importantly, what about what they call it, cabinet collective responsibility? Doesn't that mean that you are also equally responsible for the decisions made and not made by those ministries you say are the relevant agencies? You are a leader in this country, sir. Every single person in this country, regardless of status, is your responsibility. You get paid the big bucks is because we expect that you do not sleep until you are certain everyone is safe and sound in this country. And that includes the prisoners at the Royal Her Majesty's Prison. It includes the detainees at the Corrections Center. It includes all of the children and the elderly and the vulnerable in care facilities that the state provides oversight for, even if it is just statutory, like a piece of legislation. You are responsible for all of that, sir. Every single thing. And since we have not yet determined whether people residing in shanty towns with access to government services have received them due to fraudulent actions on the side of state actors, we don't know that yet. We don't know whether people you are responsible for have given residents in these shanty towns the impression that they have been legitimately connected to services. You don't know that yet, sir. And you're responsible. But more importantly, why are the people running the stop sign at Collins Avenue and Shirley Street and Meeting Street and Nassau Street as if stop signs don't exist? That's your responsibility too, sir. Maybe we need a larger stop sign there. What about the water that is still leaking on Shirley Street East by the gas station and has been leaking for weeks? You're responsible for that too, sir. You know what else you're responsible for? And I know this may seem like a stretch, but I don't think it is. In the business section today, we have a disgruntled foreign investor who the paper says lashes out at environmental groups over BPC license renewals. You're responsible for this too, sir. And I'm going to read what Mr. Potter said. If this were not the case, if the integrity of agreements could not, then companies would never invest such high volumes of capital, let alone explore for resources to enrich a nation's economy with a resource that takes decades to create a return on that company's investment. This is where it gets very, very entertaining. It is entirely spurious for foreign environmental groups to offer unsolicited legal advice on a matter of which they have no background, no knowledge, no insight, and certainly no experience or expertise. Now, his comments came after environmental group Earth Justice, a U.S.-based nonprofit environmental law organization, stated that the government could use its complete discretion and authority to deny BPC's 4 southern licenses for oil exploration, noting that it would be consistent with its economic, environmental, and ethical commitments to protect the marine resources. And it goes on to the second page, I imagine it says, of the Bahamas and the world. So back to Bannister. Bannister, this is your responsibility too. This level of engagement from this foreign is unacceptable. And since he insists that he speaks to the government and not to the people of the Bahamas, perhaps you and your cabinet collective responsibility should sit down with him and explain to him that that level of engagement is unprofessional, distasteful, unacceptable, and will not be tolerated by the people of the Bahamas, which the government he insists on speaking to only serves. See, Bannister, you're responsible for all of that. That's why you get paid the big bucks. That's why we put honorable in front of your name. That's just how it crumbles. I am not responsible for that because I did not run for parliament. I am responsible for governing myself, sir. Anyway, thank you, Arlington. Now is a perfect time to take a break and get in to our show this morning. So when we get back from the break, I'm going to read these texts and I'm going to introduce you to a phenomenal Bahamian artist. We'll be right back. Stay tuned to 96.9 FM.
Meet Jackie. Jackie's a hard worker with a steady income, but she has a personal loan and multiple credit cards to pay off. To keep her account current, Jackie opted for a loan from Fidelity Bank and earn interest on a built-in savings account. Be like Jackie. Call 356-7764 to book a complimentary financial coaching session. Fidelity also offers virtual assistance. Fidelity. We're good for you.
Have an outstanding real property tax bill? Take advantage of our real property tax forgiveness program. Bring your account to zero and receive a 50% discount on your outstanding tax and surcharge past 180 days. Or get a payment plan. Make a 25% deposit on your outstanding tax, receive a 100% waiver on the surcharge, and pay the difference within 36 months, interest-free. Contact the Department of Inland Revenue at 225-5778 or email us at rptforgive@bahamas.gov.bs. Offer ends May 31st.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning, Bahamas, and welcome back to 96.9 FM. You are on the clock with Erin Green, and I'm so glad that you have joined us. Ad for you from the Department of Statistics. The census goes digital. During the months of April to July, the Department of Statistics will be conducting a listing exercise to build a database to support the first ever national census data collection via a digital and online process. The listing exercise will include all buildings and dwellings in New Providence, Grand Bahama, and the Family Islands. And the Family Islands will be listed by enumeration district. This message is brought to you by the Department of Statistics. Let's get to these texts quickly. Erin, now finally I can buy that wind turbine for renewable energy. Nassau generally does not get an abundance of wind like Southeast Bahamas. Morning, fine, but why Camp Road still without sidewalks? More people, especially children, walk there, still making poor decisions after 4 years. I'm going to be honest with you. I think they put in the sidewalks for the cars. I think they think that that's the best way to park cars. Erin Green, two straight FNM, FNM. Erin, Coral Harbor Road leading towards our roundabout where there's heavy rains or storms, heavy and deep water settling for days. Please, can it be accessed and resolved? I agree with you, dear Sir Honorable Bannister. That's your job, too. Good morning, Ms. Green. I'm listening to you pointing fingers at the minister. Then you yourself need to ask yourself some questions. Fix what need to be in your life before you can call people. That is a big problem with us as Bahamians. Wow. Okay. Dear Texter, first of all, we are talking about critiquing the actions of a cabinet minister. And you want me to compare that to my personal journey as a human. Okay, and my personal development. Sure, that's fine. I agree with you. I need to govern myself so I could understand how governance works. I get it. But he's still the deputy prime minister of the country, and he should be held to a higher standard than I, an ordinary citizen, is held to. Now, as a public figure in the media, right? I am held to a higher standard than other citizens. I agree. But tell me, if a member of cabinet and the deputy prime minister is not responsible for all people in the country, who is? And whoever it is pointing to this action as exemplary for a prime minister, I seriously ask you to reconsider that position. How can I get a payable payback loan on my family crown land to do farming and small housing community for our teachers and government workers that we paid to have title clear now that there are opportunities to grow a better Bahamas? Texter, do me a favor. Send that text back. Break it down into parts for me, and I'll get back to you privately on that. Thank you for those texts this morning. And thank you to my guests. Good morning, Miss Nicole Cawley Jameson. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Thank you. So let me do this intro again. Miss Nicole Cawley Jameson is a Bahamian visual artist, illustrator, and graphics designer currently living in the U.S. And while you're listening to the show, if you'd like to check out any of her work, you can find some images of her work on my personal Facebook page. If you look for Erin Green, or you can go to NicoleCawley.com. Good morning, Ms. Jameson.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fantastic. How are you?
I am good. Thank you. So the reason I invited you on the show today is because you are a noted figure in the local art scene. And if people don't know about you, they should know about you. Because you were the owner of a gallery in New Providence, in Nassau City, called Synquanon. Am I correct?
Yes ma'am.
Where you opened the art world to people who would not traditionally be seen in a gallery.
But correct.
But also, your work has been featured in Vogue magazine recently.
Yes, ma'am, the UK version.
The UK version. And I wanted to have a conversation with you to draw attention to your work, to this wonderful feature, and to some of the other work that you are doing around the world. So my first question for you is, why art? I know that you make art, but you also owned an art gallery. So I want to ask, why art? Why is art so important?
Art's important for your mental health, who you are, stability. And I opened the gallery because I wasn't receiving that. I didn't get that from my community and my art community. And I wanted to be accepted. I wanted to have my own space and my own place. And include others that were like me. We were like misfits of the art world, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So it was important for me to do that for me and for others like me.
Awesome. So define your art and your style or technique.
Well, I would say surrealism, because it's got a little bit of crazy in it. Also contemporary artwork, very colorful.
Awesome. So for me, art is both activism and therapy, right? And then I realize that I find the pleasure within the performance of the art, whether creating a tie, a lamp, or what is your relationship with your art?
I feel the same in regards to when I am in the process of creating. It is, it's like Zen. It's a beautiful place to be when you're in that zone of making and creating.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so are you exploring any other types of art or any other techniques in your current art style?
Techniques, yes. I've been using a lot of gels and molding pastes and ink and magazines and newspapers. Actually, anything I can get my hands on, even like wire on the streets, I will incorporate whatever I can find into my work.
Wow. So when I was making ties right in Nassau, it was always around Junkanoo time. So accessing crepe paper was always a problem, right? It's either you can't find it at all or it was super expensive, right? And so that's when I began pulling other forms of media, newspaper, print, and even straw and cloth, right, into my work. So let me ask you this. The pull to other types of materials to work with, is that something that you developed in the Bahamas where typically an artist doesn't have full access to the materials that they may want to use at the time? Or is it that when you moved to a space where you had greater access, that you felt more comfortable to reach out to different forms of art, of materials?
That is such an interesting question. I don't think that is why I did it. Living in Nassau, I was speaking with one of our artists there, and he was saying, you know, you need to develop and you need to grow and you need to grow your art. And I didn't know what that meant. I mean, I know what the words mean, but how do I grow and develop my artwork, my art style, and understanding what my art style is? And so coming to the States, opportunity to see what was out there in regards to the different mediums that you can actually use, the gels. And it was experimenting with these kinds of things that helped me develop my style. And I also think about layers. My paintings are about layers, and people are about layers. It's the layers that you have to make you who you are. And creating, in regards to my artwork, is also about layers. What's underneath all of this? How did it start? What lines were put there? Is there a saying at the bottom of this painting that nobody can even see, only the actual artist? So that's more of why I ended up using different types of gels and techniques and learning. So it wasn't about, it was more about what I could find over here, and then how did I incorporate it and growth.
Awesome. Awesome. So let's talk about these features. So we highlighted the feature in UK Vogue that's already taken place.
Yes, it came out in June.
Awesome. And so are we able to access that online?
Yes, you can. It's, you can access it online.
All right, awesome. So to my listening audience, everybody, we got to take a moment for the June edition of UK Vogue. Are there any other Bahamians or Caribbean people being featured, or is this a solo feature?
Actually, I introduced the lady from Vogue to another Bahamian artist, Desiree Cox. So her work is also being featured in that same June feature, and I'm guessing July also, which I'm also in.
Okay, so we got to look out for both the June and July issue of UK Vogue to look for your work and the work of Desiree Cox.
I must say Dr. Desiree Cox.
My bad. Hold on. We didn't even say it properly yet. Dr. Desiree Cox, Rhodes Scholar, QC graduate, and Stellar Comet.
There you go.
Yeah, that's a full title. But that is awesome. That is awesome. So tell us, are those the only features that you have coming up?
Actually, no. Besides the Vogue feature, I will also be in Wired magazine. I'll be in House of Coco and the Adobe 2 magazines.
All right. So Wired and Adobe 2.
Correct.
And Vogue. Now, those seem like that's a wide variety of genres, right? Vogue is fashion and style. Wired is tech, trends,
mm-hmm.
style, pop culture. House of Coco, I imagine, is Afrocentric fashion, right?
Luxury magazine, yes, of all the stuff you want.
Wow, awesome. So tell me, what is special for you about each feature or about working with this particular publication or bringing your work to this particular audience?
I would say validation. Again, as an artist, you want people to see your work. You want to be validated. It's important. And then it's also important to realize you are who you are. And artwork is subjective to who's looking at it. People don't like my work or people like my work. And actually being accepted on a, I guess, national level, and that is a really great thing from where I came from and the reason why I opened up my own art gallery. I opened it because nobody would accept my work.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to be accepted. So I went and opened a gallery and did it for myself.
Awesome. That is fabulous. Because when you said Wired, I was like, oh, that is interesting. I'm not quite sure why, but, you know, what a wonderful opportunity. Have you ever turned down a publication? Like, have you ever said, I don't think this is going to be a right fit for us?
Absolutely not. I would never do that.
Tell me why.
Because I believe in including people. And artwork being subjective, and just because the manager of wherever didn't like my work, that doesn't mean that the owner or the CEO wouldn't like my work. So you never know who's going to actually like your artwork. The first art piece that I sold at my first art show at Central Bank was a piece that I didn't even want to include in the actual art show. I had to have 40 pieces. And this one particular piece was the fine. So I had to include it. And it was actually the first one that sold, and I could not believe it. And that was one of my first of many lessons learned. It's artwork is subjective.
All right. So pause 1 second. I have a text here. And I just need to say to the texter, no, the name of the guest of our artist guest today is Nicole Cawley Jameson. And if you go to my Facebook page right now, I just reshared the post with the images and the link to her website. It is not Bethany Williams, but now, thank you, because now I have to go and look for Bethany Williams and find out about her artwork. Now, also, Nicole, I have another text here I'm going to read to you because you may have the answer. And if anybody has the answer to this question, please share it with me. This texter says, how can I find my brother Jeffrey Taylor's art paintings? He was also known to make wedding dresses. We would just like to see them. So they're not trying to reclaim them. If anybody knows where Jeffrey Taylor's work is, let me know. Text into the show or let the producer know you're passing a message. Do you know Jeffrey Taylor's where Jeffrey Taylor's artwork would be seen?
I have no idea, but I think that that's a fabulous thing that you're actually looking for it. I did the same thing with my father's albums. I had no idea. My father had so many music albums out there, didn't have one. And then I went on to eBay and I found a whole bunch of them. And so whenever they come up, I always buy them. So that's a really cool thing that you want your history and to share your history.
Well, listen, so I have a question here, right? Do you think an art collective, art commune, or an artist residency program, like a long-term art residential facility, would be welcomed in the Bahamas?
I do think so. Not everybody would welcome it, but I think that that would be a fantastic thing to do for our community and for our culture and for the people that need a place to go to find themselves. Even if they're not the greatest quote unquote artist, they are creating. And so in my opinion, they are an artist, and those people need a place to go. I mean, my artwork has changed so much since I started painting, which I was in my teens, to where I'm at now, from when I had the gallery to where I'm at now. Mm-hmm. You know, my artwork has changed so much. So yes, I do believe that, because being around creative people helps you grow.
And I think even if you are not a creative, right, like sometimes taking a week off and spending a week at the art residential facility, engaging in art programs may be the perfect therapy for someone working in a high-stress environment.
Absolutely agree with you.
But more than that, when you talked about finding your father's work abroad, right, on international databases, and I thought about an art commune or an art residential facility would be the perfect place to host a art archive, where we ensure that we have an original or a copy of every piece of art made by a Bahamian. What do you think about that?
That sounds amazing. Yes.
Okay.
Everybody, not just the handful that, but everybody, include everybody.
All right. So you are the new Minister of Arts and Culture, right? And you get to make your first policy decision. My policy decision was create an art residential program and put an archive in it. What's your first policy decision?
Inclusivity. I just want everybody included. I don't want to say no. I want to say yes. And saying yes is very hard, but yes.
All right. So how do we make art more accessible to children from lower income families?
Wow. Saying yes. I think that there needs to be opportunity for these people that can't afford to do it. There needs to be opportunities for businesses to come together and sponsor kids or sponsor art creative programs within the school, after school. But we need to come together, be team players, have empathy, include people, have compassion for mm-hmm. other people.
I would say let's make art supplies duty-free.
That would be great.
And VAT-free, but then charge a tax on sale of art over, say, $5,000. So any artwork that sells and is more than $5,000, you tax it. But other than that, all art supplies are free.
So how can we do this?
Well, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to make a meeting with the Minister of Works, Mr. Bannister, because he's responsible for everything and he could make things work. And that's what we rely on him for. But listen, I have another question for you. Should we make arts and crafts classes mandatory?
You know, mandatory is a hard word, because that puts a line in the sand. And like my son would not have been happy to have to go to art class every day. Now, if you tell him sports, so yes, he'll do that, but not the art class. So I feel like we should be able to work what's best for the actual student, but listen to them, hear them. When he was in high school, they made him choose between music and sports. And I don't think that that was right, because he enjoyed music. He wanted to play music. So he should have been able to do both of them and then, you know, figure out his direction in life, but not have to choose between that. So I don't think it should be a line in the sand of you have to, but I do think that you should listen to your child and hear which direction that they want to go in.
Right. Because maybe they like art, but it's just not the traditional art scene that they're interested in. Which leads me to this next. The text says, Lady Green, I know the Wired publications are more on the techie side, the tech side, and the Adobe publication. Oh, the text says, is Adobe publication on the tech side also? And do you think that the features you were offered were because of your work as a graphics designer and an illustrator? So he's saying he knows that Wired is a tech-based magazine. Do you think these other types of publications are attracted to your work because of your full breadth of skills, including your work as an illustrator and a graphics designer?
I'd have to say no to the graphics, because I did ask them how they, when they reached out to me, I asked them how they found me, and they found me through Instagram. So I don't have anything, like my graphics is not there. In regards to the Wired, Wired and Vogue and GQ and Travelers are all under like a parent company. So they ended up seeing my work prior to the issue coming out and reached out to me like that.
Awesome.
And then the Adobe too is like a high-end real estate magazine. House and building needs some artwork. So there you go.
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely. So a quick question here. We got about 6 minutes left. So recently, a controversial mural created by Benjamin Ferguson Jr. was torn down in Grand Bahama after being deemed divisive and offensive to some segments of society because of its quote-unquote racial overtones. Some people call it racist. Some people say it is an attempt to interrogate how racism and cultural imperialism and plantation model tourism operate in the Bahamas. That, some people, is me. I said that. Now, it is the image of a child drinking from a popular juice pouch, but the title of the product has been changed to Caucasian. It also includes stereotypical tourist images with a beach scene, like tourists on a jet ski and a flamingo. Do you think this is censorship, or do the landowners have the right to remove a piece of art because it offended some people?
Well, if the artwork was there, then I'm assuming the land paint on the property?
Yep.
So if it was given permission, then I think that I do believe that was censorship, and I don't believe in censoring because I paint primarily nudes, and I have been censored my whole life in regards to that. Still, even today, in the newspaper in Nassau, you know, mm-hmm. some have added my nudes to the paper, some haven't. And I don't think anybody has that real right to do so. Because why do I paint nudes? Or why did he put Caucasian on the drink? Because we drink a lot of what's going on? I mean, isn't that a true statement?
A university would call it cultural imperialism, right? Like, it's not just a made-up thing. Universities recognize the construct that he depicted in that image as cultural imperialism. Yeah.
Well, I did see his work, and his work is phenomenal. And any artist that would like to reach out to me, please do, because, again, I'm all about hiding.
Thank you. Thank you for that. So now is a good time. Let the audience know how they can reach out to you.
My website is NicoleColley.com. And there's also a group of us, another artist, a lawyer. We've started a group called Emerging Creatives, and it's emergingcreatives.org. I build websites. I would love to talk to other artists and add them to the website. I'm getting your stuff out online, how important that is, and to be seen. So it's NicoleColley.com.
Awesome.
And email me anytime.
Thank you. I have a text here for you. Please tell Madam Nicole Cawley she has a beautiful mind, and I really love what seems to be her welcoming, warm, inclusive mind also. So that
Thank you.
A text for you. I got a few texts here I would like to read through, but what the last question for you, Nicole, what advice do you have for young and aspiring artists?
Don't accept the word no. I was told no. I was told that I needed to try something else. I wouldn't make any money doing art. Pushing forward. Be uncomfortable. Get uncomfortable, because when you're in uncomfortable places, like this radio show for me, this is not something that I typically do, mm-hmm. but it's when you're in these moments is when you grow as a person, as an artist, as a mother, as a father. So don't ever accept no. Keep on pushing. When you fall, that's the best time to pick yourself up, because that's when you're learning. You're learning how to pick yourself up. When you fail, or when you think you've failed, don't accept that as a failure. Pick yourself up and push ahead, because it's always pushing ahead is what makes you who you are. And it's where I'm at today. And I'm grateful for that.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining us today, Ms. Cawley. And like I said, for people who want to see more of her work, NicoleCawley.com is her website, and you can see some images on my personal Facebook page. I'm not going to delete them, so the link is there if you want to find it. And please check out the June and July editions of UK Vogue, and stay tuned to Wired, Adobe 2, and House of Coco coming up this summer to see her work and the work of Dr. Desiree Cox, QC graduate, Rhodes Scholar, a phenomenal Bahamian. Thank you again, Ms. Cawley.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate you, Aaron.
Absolutely. To my audience, I'm going to read the last of the last few texts that came in before we end the show. Is there a government assistance to help family crown land owners to help them fully own their property, to build communities, and to do organic indoor farming? We spent the money on the plans and drawings and survey on the properties. We can pay it back and have the plans to show future and pay back invoices. So the question was, is there a policy, a program, or initiative in place where people who are in possession of Crown land can purchase it for the purpose of commercial agricultural industry? I think that's the question. I will find an answer for you. I think the short answer is no. But I will interrogate that and find an one last text before we go. The DPM cannot be responsible for housing for Bahamians who built illegally on land that does not belong to them. The Deputy Prime Minister of the country, along with all cabinet members, have equal responsibility for everything that's happening in the country. That's just how it is. You got to pay the cost to be the boss. Those are the rules of the political culture. Thank you for adding these rich questions and commentary to the show today. Thank you to my guest, Nicole Cawley Jameson, for joining us all the way from the USA to talk about your work as an illustrator, a graphics designer, and a phenomenal visual artist, and being featured in some upcoming international publications. It is 11 a.m. That means Levon Miller and Unleashed is up next. Have a great day, Bahamas. Stay tuned to 96.9 FM, Guardian Talk Radio.